Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue our study in the Sermon on the Mount. Imagine that you're in your first day of class. You signed up for a college class and it's your first day of class. And the teacher introduces himself and then he says, "All the religious teaching that you have learned is wrong." You'd be wondering, what did I sign up for here? And he says, "I will teach you the truth." You go, "Oh boy, this is good." That's what Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount. He came to these folks, the Jews, and basically he was telling them, "Everything that you've learned so far is wrong. And I'm coming as the master teacher. I'm going to straighten you all out." It helps you realize why he's so unpopular. And Jesus used a formula, if we could call it that, a statement that told them that what their teachers had been teaching them over the years, the centuries, was false. And he came to teach them the truth. So Jesus used this formula. "You have heard it said by them of old, but I say." And that's the pattern we've seen so far. He used it for, "You've heard you shall not kill, but I say, even if you're angry, it's the same as murder in God's eyes." And the religious leaders only taught that if you didn't do something outwardly, that was good. Didn't matter how you felt inside or how you thought inside, as long as you didn't do the deed, you were righteous. Jesus is reversing all that. He said, God says that if you're angry with your brother, if just in your heart, nobody else knows except you, that's the same as if you went out and shot him in the head. Same thing with adultery. He says, if you just look at a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. And all this time the Jews said, "Well, I didn't do it." And Jesus comes along and says, "It doesn't matter. You thought it. You dreamed it up." And we saw the same approach with marriage and divorce last time. So tonight we're going to see the same approach used with vows, making promises, and then swearing, I'll keep my promise. This is in verse 33 through verse 37. So let's read them so we get the idea of what Jesus is saying here. Verse 33 in Matthew 5. "Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old," and that's always a reference to the rabbinical teachings that came up through the generations, "You shall not make false vows," or "you shall not perjure yourself, but shall perform unto the Lord your vows," or "you shall fulfill your vows." That's what you've heard. Verse 34, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, or yes, yes, no, no, for whatever is more than this comes of evil." They lived in a world, and we live in a world, where people are not honest. They lie. They deceive, they cover up, they tell part of the truth. We're seeing that now in like every area of our culture. Business, science, religion, education, politics, you name it, and you can't trust anybody. That's why we have contracts and agreements, and that's why people swear by something. Because nobody can trust anybody's word anymore. That's how depraved man is. So in the day of Jesus, when he was there, the Jews had perfected a system of making vows or promises that they had no intention of keeping. Because of their rabbinical traditions, they were able to make these promises and swear by something to show the person they're swearing that I'll be faithful to my promise, just to take advantage of that person. Jesus is going to expose their hypocrisy and their evil practices. So there were a lot of Old Testament scriptures that addressed making vows. Because he said, you've heard, in verse 33, it's been said by them of old, you shall not perjure yourself, but perform unto the Lord your vows. So, for instance, Leviticus 19:12 says this, you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Another one, there are plenty of them, just a couple here for examples. Numbers 30, verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. So you cannot swear falsely by the Lord's name. You can't profane the name of the Lord. And if you make a vow and you swear to keep that vow, you must keep it according to what proceeds out of your mouth. Whatever you said, you got to keep that promise. So Jesus is saying, you've heard all these things. To perjure yourself is to make a false vow. In other words, it's a lie. You promise to keep your promise, and you intend not to keep it, because you're going to take advantage of somebody. So Jesus says, whenever you promise to or vow to do something, you are bound by your oath to do it. Okay, look at Hebrews chapter 6. Got a little help in Hebrews chapter 6. On this idea of making vows. It's Hebrews 6, 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife. So when men make a promise, they usually swear by somebody greater than themselves to give assurance to the other person that that promise will be kept. That just was a practice back then. And when men swear by God, they're saying, God's going to hold me accountable. God's watching. He heard my words, and I have to keep my words. So when you made a promise and you swore, that was to be the end of discussion. I will keep my promise, or God's going to kill me or punish me. Hebrews 6, 13 and 14. We find that even God promises things and swears by them. Verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. So God makes vows, and then he makes an oath, or he swears. And God doesn't need to do this, right? If God promises something, isn't that good enough? Because God never lies. He can't lie. He can't do anything against his own nature. So if God promises, he doesn't need to swear by even himself. But he does it. Why? To give assurance to weak people like us that he is serious about what he said he would do. And he's going to keep his promise. In the Old Testament, many of the saints made vows and then swore by God to fulfill them. So God provided this oath-giving mechanism to people because people lie and deceive and distrust one another. So God intended these oaths to be used in serious situations, like swearing on the Bible. I don't know if they do that anymore. It used to be common. You go into a court, you swear on the Bible, put your hand on the Bible. And do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? So help you God. And people say yes and go right into lying. Didn't mean anything. But I think the ACLU or somebody said that's government and religion. Can't do that. I think that they just make like an affirmation now. I promise to tell the truth. No, they don't. Well, how about taking vows at a wedding? You promise to be faithful to your spouse till death parts you. And then you swear before God and the angels and all the witnesses, I will be faithful to my spouse. That's swearing. So those are important occasions where you need to make sure somebody has assurance that you're going to be truthful and keep your promise. So the Old Testament oaths, the swearing was only to be done in God's name and only for important occasions. Deuteronomy 6:13 says, "You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name." That's it. You swear only by God's name. It was a sin not to do what you promised to do. And so if you didn't keep your word, you had to confess it and bring a guilt offering to the priest back in the old days. That's how important it was. Okay, we can go back to Matthew. Matthew 5. So what the Jews did was develop a system of making oaths to people, and then they would swear by different things like heaven or earth or the altar or their head. Anything they thought would make people believe they were really sincere. I swear by the temple. You see that temple? I swear by the temple. So the one making the oath, who was swearing by the temple or the hair of his head or on his grandmother's grave or whatever the thing was he swore by, he wasn't serious, but he tried to make that person believe he's really going to carry it out just to get something out of it, to take advantage. And this system that the rabbis had invented, as long as you didn't swear by the name of the Lord, it was okay to swear by something else and not mean it. See how they twisted that? You're only supposed to swear in the name of the Lord in the first place. And they said, no, you can swear by the temple and other things. But if you do, you don't have to really keep your promise. So the command in Leviticus 19:12 that we read, the command that commanded them not to swear falsely in God's name was interpreted by the rabbis to mean that you could swear falsely by any other name. Just take that one verse, twist it a little bit. That's what the false teachers do today. They'll take a truth, put new definitions on some of the words and a little tweak the meaning. And the people say, oh, what a great preacher. I've never heard anybody like that. They have no idea what the Bible says. So this tradition that the rabbi started caused God's standard of truthfulness to be ignored so men could lie and cheat, take advantage of others. That's all they were about, getting money and getting power. So Jesus clarifies the Old Testament teaching, verse 34. He says, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by your head, because you can't make one hair white or black. Let your communication be yes, yes, no, no, for whatever is more than that is evil." He's saying, don't swear by these things that are less than God. That's what the Jews did to make the oath less binding than if it was sworn in God's name. Look at Matthew 23 has a little bit to say about this. Matthew 23, you remember Jesus pronouncing the woes on the Jews. A lot of woes. We'll just pick out a couple here that pertain to what we're talking about. And Jesus pronouncing judgment on the Pharisees and scribes for swearing on things other than God. Verse 16. Matthew 23:16. "Woe unto you, you blind guides, who say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor." You can see how foolish that is. Which is greater? The temple or the gold that's in it? In verse 18, similar. "And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is upon the altar, he is bound." So this wrong-headed thinking is being rebuked by Jesus. Jesus rebuked them because they used this method to deceive and get advantage of people. There was no concern for truth, no concern for God's honor in dealing with the fellow man. So Jesus reveals that even swearing by things lesser than God involves God. Can't get away from it. Even though they're breaking the law, God was still involved. You see that in verse 17? "You fools," after they said, it's okay to swear by the gold in the temple, or not by the temple, but the gold in the temple. He said, "You fools and blind, which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold?" And after he said in verse 18, "Whoever swears by the altar, it's nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is upon the altar, he is bound." Verse 19, he says, "You fools and blind, which is greater, the gift or the altar which sanctifies the gift?" And then he tells them in verse 20 and following, "Whoever therefore shall swear by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. And whosoever shall swear by the temple swears by it and by him that dwells in it." That's God. In verse 22, "And he that shall swear by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it." He's telling them, it's sinful to use anything of God's, his name, his temple, his altar, a person's head, as a witness to some dishonest and deceitful thing to get advantage over somebody. Because everything in creation is God's. So Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for putting God in a box, thinking, if I don't swear by God's name, but swear by something lesser, I can make a false oath. That's exactly how they thought. Jesus says, no, every promise must be sincere and truthful. And whatever you swear by involves God, who is hearing and watching every vow and every oath. The Bible is clear on God's will concerning truthfulness. Amen? No doubt. Never to lie, never to bend the truth. God hates a lying tongue. You remember the 6 things God hates and 7 are abomination to Him? Number 1 is a proud look. Number 2 is what? A lying tongue. A lying tongue. Proverbs 6:17. In Psalm 51:6, David confessed, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." After David had covered up and lied, he said, "Now I know it, Lord, you desire truth in the inner man, inward parts." Okay, back to Matthew 5. In verse 37, let your communication, whatever you have with your fellow man, whoever it is, whether you're making a deal or just talking about things, let your communication be yes, yes, no, no. Make it very clear. For whatever, you don't swear on things and ask them to believe you because you're making some oath, even to God. I don't know if you've ever done that. You know, I swear to God, I'm gonna meet you at 6 o'clock. Don't need to do that. I swear on my mother's grave. I swear on the Bible. He says, no. Just say yes or no. Just make your promise. Your word is enough. Because whatever's more than that, he says, comes of evil. It's evil. Whether we're making an important promise or just everyday conversations, we should be truthful and honest, never trying to deceive anybody, never trying to make ourselves look good. That's another method of deceiving somebody. I don't know if you've ever done this, but you know, you have a good day and God gives you somebody to witness to, and you witness to them. And you know how after you talk to somebody, you're kicking yourself, I should have said this and I should have said that. Well, now you come and tell somebody about your experience, and now you're telling, here's what I told them. The thing you wanted to tell them, you never told them, but now you're embellishing it. That's deception. The only reason I know that is because I've done that. It's a shameful thing. That's what pride does to you. He says, no, when you speak your word, people should know that he speaks truth all the time. People should know us always as honest and truthful to the point that our word is as good as a contract. That they would trust us to do whatever we said without making us sign a contract. You can't do that in the big business world today, but amongst Christians, they know that you don't bend the truth, you don't lie, you're gonna carry it out. We shouldn't have to swear by God or on the Bible or anything else. All who are members of the kingdom, remember Jesus said that the qualifications for getting into the kingdom, those are poor spirit, those who mourn over sin. If you're a member of the kingdom, your promise should be good. Your word is your promise, and that's it. You don't have to do anything else. Those that are saved are holy and righteous and truthful. Anything less than absolute truth in our hearts and our words is evil. So once again, Jesus has upheld every jot and tittle of the Old Testament scripture. He didn't change anything. He just came and said, what you guys have been saying is a lie. It's not true. Here's what those passages meant. And he just elaborated on it and clarified it and said, you should not be swearing by anything. You should just have your word as what people trust. That's the kind of reputation we want. Amen? People don't have to wonder if we're fudging or making up some story. No, when we say something, our word is truth. So pray for us that we will be those who don't have to make up things. Take the truth and twist it a little bit. That when you say when you make a vow, when you make a promise, That's enough. Everybody knows that you're a member of the kingdom. You'll keep your promise. Amen. Amen.